And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, October 7th, 2023. Season 17, episode 33. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook there. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv and search for InGameChat. You'll find us there. You can also join in the chat room live while we broadcast as well. So why not join us? Also, there's Discord. Join us in that if you would like to. And chat with us on the air as well. Trying a different camera angle. Not for RJ as much as we are for me. This was just here. It was already set up like this. I thought, well, I'm just going to plug it in and see how this goes. And so this is how it's going. There you go. Let's see. I need to do this. So get that out of the way. Also have to clean off all the space over here because it's the first time you're seeing that. Normally you don't. Normally it's right in front of me. But now you have all this. So I had to clean it off. Anyway, welcome into the show, everyone. Like I said, we're on Twitch and we're on Discord as well. All of those links you can find by going to our website, ingamechat.net, going to the very bottom of the page. And there are links for Discord and Twitch and everything else. You can just click those. It'll take you right to where you need to go if you want to get in on the show and be a part of it as well. So welcome in. RJ, what have you been playing?
Well, I'd like to say I've been playing something different, but I haven't. You know,
I'd said Destiny for like 10 years, man.
Yeah, you know how I get. I get a long playtime session with the games I'm playing currently, and right now it's still MLB The Show 23 and Virtual Fighter 5. I've been getting some internet issues, basically, and especially with some titles that randomly all of a sudden can't connect to the network. And every Sunday, I get together with a group of folks who play Virtual Fighter 5 in a league, a league-type setting, right?
When you say you get together physically, or you get together online?
No, we get together online.
Okay,
this, right?
Yeah.
And the week before, no issues. This past week recently,
a
bunch of disconnects over and over and over again, and I could not understand what was going on. I mean,
how's it been during the week?
During the week,
sporadically,
but not as bad since Sunday. They thought maybe it was just connected with other players, things like that. But it was green bars across the board last time, and then we had some new folks in there who didn't. Maybe some yellows and orange bars there, but it was a mystery to me because I reset everything, reset the system, made sure everything was connected.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
Nothing else was on.
How was your internet just in general, not your internet?
My internet was fine in general.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at. Not just the connection with the game, just like your internet overall. Everything's been fine?
Yeah, it's been fine.
Okay, well, that tells me it's the game problem, more than likely.
Yeah.
Or somebody else's internet that's in your group team, whatever. I don't know, maybe.
Well, they said that, but still, the thing, it was just irritating to me that smooth 1 week and then horrible the next. When it comes to fighting games, precision is everything.
Yeah,
and if you got any sort of lag, that's going to throw everything off. Your timing is just going to go out the window any time a lag comes into play. And I'm pretty sure that applies to pretty much every online game, but fighting games in particular, I know lag will ruin how effective you can be.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. It's all about your timing. So when you press that button, character needs to make that move the instant you press that button. And if you've got any kind of latency type stuff, it's a press and then it's a lag and then character moves and it's too late. Which is something we all were worried about with game streaming. In the early days of it, what was it called? On Live, I think was.
Yeah,
was that little device?
It was like the control that hooked up to something.
It was just like a little box, kind of like a streaming box, literally, just a streaming box that your controller wirelessly connected to, and it was their own controller. It wasn't like you could connect any Bluetooth controller. You may have been able to. I don't know, because this is going way back.
Yeah.
So you would take that controller, you would connect it to that box, then you would connect the box to the internet, and this whole interface would come up on your screen, and it'd have like a ton of games that you could either watch other people playing, or you could start playing yourself with whatever subscription method you had or whatever the case may be. I don't remember. Now, I remember I got one. I got one, I don't know if I was at E3 or PAX. One of the gaming things that I go to, they gave me a, they gave me one to try out and to mess around with. And so I did for the shortest amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
It was, it worked really well. There was some latency, but at that time you were like, hey, that's not bad. I can't do this or this or this with it. Like, I can't do a fighting game with it, or I can't do like a first-person shooter thing probably with it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I could do Minecraft. I could do, I don't even know if Minecraft was there at the time. I know Batman was a big thing, and I don't know if it was Arkham Asylum or Arkham City. Arkham Knight was not out yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know which one it was, probably Asylum. And it worked okay. The latency was very, very, very small. It was, you could tell it was there, but it wasn't enough that made you think, eh, I don't really want to play that. For me, it was only for the fact that I already had the games. Like, I, if I want to go play this, I have it here. I can go do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to worry about the latency thing. And the money you had to spend just to play other games was just not worth it. We'd sit there and watch replays or watch people. You could make highlight reels of things that you did specifically, and we'd go find, like, what's the most watched, and we'd see all these different things.
Yeah.
You know, it was a neat introduction to it, even though it really wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
It was like a Twitch box before there was Twitch.
Yeah. I looked up some stuff on it. It said it was founded in 2009, went defunct.
On Live? Yeah.
On Live, yeah. Founded in 2009, went defunct in 2012. Then it was, they quote-unquote, phoenixed in April of 2015. But the fate was the patents were sold to Sony Interactive.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was. They sold it to Sony Interactive, and then Sony went with the... there were these two streaming services, and Sony gobbled up one of them, and I feel like Microsoft gobbled up the other one, and I can't remember what they were.
Mm.
Completely escapes me right now. I want to say it started with a G.
Hmm.
Somebody in the chat room is going to correct me on this, I know. Mm. But I'm telling you, I don't remember what it was that they did. And there was all this talk, like, Sony was going to, that's what they were going to use for, like, PlayStation Now or PlayStation whatever, where you could start streaming PlayStation games through whatever that service was.
Yeah.
I don't think anything ever came of it, even though they do have PlayStation Now or they do have whatever, PlayStation TV or something. I can't remember what it's called, where you can stream games. Not Justin TV. No, it was not that one. That's it. It was Gaikai? G-A-I-K-A-I. And Xbox had Beam. You're exactly right. Yeah. Xbox had Beam, and Sony had Gaikai. Yes, exactly. I was trying to remember. It started with a G, and I could not remember, as you can easily tell why I couldn't.
Never heard of that one.
It really didn't make a lot of... neither one of them. At the time, they were making news because, hey, they're a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't really... We knew that's what they were, and streaming just wasn't a thing. Game streaming. Yes, you could sit there and watch people play games, but actually playing a game that you don't own through a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That was, like, your input goes through the internet, hits a server, you know, then tells the console to do whatever it is you just pressed. It does it, then it sends it all the way back to you, and that sort of thing. It was one of those situations where it just wasn't, I don't say there.
But the infrastructure wasn't there, the technology, the idea was fine, but the implementation
was there, but
it wasn't
advanced as it is now.
The implementation wasn't good enough, yeah.
Yeah. It was just something where you're like, man, in a few years or ever how long it's going to take them to get that, that's probably going to be a thing, but right now we're not going to worry about it.
I keep thinking of the Sega Channel. Seeing if that was the same, if that was the same format
old
setup.
Sega Channel.
Yeah.
God, I remember wanting that so badly.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to call, like, they would always say, hey, if you're not getting the Sega Channel, call your cable company and tell them you want it. And I thought, is that all it takes? Is that how I have to do it? I have to call my cable company and tell them to give me the Sega channel? That's what's going to work? It never happened.
Yeah.
I also never called. Because I was 13.
you weren't the bill payer at the time.
I don't exactly know how old I was. But I was young enough to know that my phone call ain't going to get anything done.
Online gaming, December of 94. Criticized for its poorly timed launch and high subscription fee, the Sega Channel has been praised for its innovations in DLC and impact on online game services.
I connected to whatever it was. Like, when I had my Dreamcast, I bought a used Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
Long time after the Dreamcast was done. I don't even remember when it was.
But it still works.
Yeah, yeah. And I still have it somewhere in the house. But I had the Dreamcast, I had Sonic, and I hooked it up. And all I wanted to do was connect and get the free Christmas DLC for Sonic Adventure, Adventure 2, or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Where everything was like all Christmas lights and everything else, and you could walk around the hub, and it was all Christmassy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was able to connect to whatever the thing was at that time and download that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I did it for. That was it.
Yeah.
That's all I did it for was that. Only for the fact that that's the only thing I really think of that I could get. It cost nothing. It was free to do.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and do it. It's probably the only game I had that would allow me to do that as well for the Dreamcast. I think the other games that I had for Dreamcast were something called D. It's a horror game.
D. Yeah.
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 D, Crazy Taxi, Sonic Adventure, and Adventure 2.
Did you have a Choo Choo Rocket?
No. I had like maybe six games. Power Stone was the other one I had.
Okay, Power Stone.
And I may have had Daytona USA, I guess. Was that the racing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was on
there. I think that was on there. I'm not sure. Wherever the Dreamcast is, that's all. And I always had the keyboard that goes with it too. But because whoever I bought it off of eBay was just selling this whole bundle thing.
Oh, yeah, the bundle. Yeah.
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 Clock Tower, was that one on Dreamcast?
Clock Tower, horror?
Yeah.
Horror thing, I think it was.
I had I may have had Clock Tower.
Big dude with the scissors.
Yeah,
on
yeah,
the front.
Big old head scissors.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Clock Tower, yeah.
So yeah, I think that's what I had.
Yeah, I remember D because of playing Enemy Zero on the Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And the format of that
never had a Saturn.
But the format, I think the same makers of D made Enemy Zero prior, and the format of that horror game
mm-hmm.
was really stood out to me because, well, one, it was very unique to me, and it really punished you for your decision-making. I mean, pick a direction to face, and if you pick the wrong one, that's pretty much you. You're done. Yeah. And invisible enemies, basically. An invisible enemy, that, and the only thing to keep you... aware of where they were at was this little headpiece in your ear.
Yeah.
Ironically called a VMU before the Dreamcast came out. Do you remember you called
the VMU?
VMU. So you had to pick a direction to face, either forward, left, or right. And the tone you hear indicated the direction that the enemy's in. So when you had a mid-range tone, you couldn't tell whether they were to the left of you or the mm-hmm. right of you. So you had to guess, a 50-50 guess of where the enemy was. And you picked the wrong direction. Yep, dead.
I mean, well, I'll dig that up one day and see exactly which games I have, if I still have it. I feel like I do, but it's I don't know where it's at.
Yeah, I got a big CD wallet full of Dreamcast titles that are just...
you still have your system?
Yeah.
Okay, system. I figured you did. Yeah.
That's why I said I bet it still works, because mine still works.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Saturn still works. My Dreamcast still works. You know, all that stuff still works.
My Nintendo... Probably still works.
My Genesis still works.
I know it still works, but I don't know if I remember I pulled it out one time. This goes back in the early 2000s. I pulled out the old Nintendo and plugged in Mario Kart. And it took, you know, a wing and a prayer to get the thing to finally show up on the screen.
Because
it kept doing this flashing thing or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't NES. It was my Super NES Mario Kart.
Okay.
Yeah. It was my SNES. I haven't plugged my NES into anything. I still have my NES, but I haven't plugged that into anything in a while. Mm-hmm. Curious as to what that would do. Because we all have these little, we got retro things we can do now.
Yeah.
We've all got the
NES Mini.
Right, you don't need to plug the system into your thing anymore. You've got
emulation all over the place.
Everywhere. So, yeah. Exactly. What else did you play?
It was just those two, really.
Okay.
So maybe I'll pick up the pace to play something different this week, but
Yeah. Well, let's go to the phones real quick and find out who we were talking to. Hi, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
This is Biloxi Gambler, and before you tell what you were playing, because you hadn't said that yet.
No.
But this is right on subject. This is what I was going to call later in the show and ask about.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, I had to get a smart TV because, you know, the problems with ESPN, Disney, and
right.
Charter
right,
and Spectrum.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a thing on there where I can play games on it. And I clicked over there and I looked at it, and it says that I don't need the hardware, and I could play Starfield on Xbox, which I don't have an Xbox, and I don't have an Xbox controller. It says that you can use a DualShock PS4 controller and be able to play that. I have no idea how any of this works. That's the reason why I'm calling you. Have you even heard of this? Is it possible? I got to sign up to a subscription service.
Right, but you'll have to do that.
It would be playing it through my television with a PS4 controller without having to buy the $500 Xbox that I looked at for that $79 game.
Man, if your internet is really good, and I mean really good, fast, really strong connection, then I would say, you know, throw some money at it for whatever the month subscription is and see how you like it.
So that's the thing. It will work?
That sounds like it'll work. That sounds to me, from what you're telling me, and what's the subscription price, do you know?
Oh, no, I didn't click on the thing where you sign up for it, give a credit card. I didn't do that part.
Okay, well, if
I would
you
have
do.
To have a subscription, and there's two choices, and I was going to look before I called, but since you were already on the subject, I said, well, I'll call right now. What would be a good subscription source to use? They give me two choices. One of them I've never heard of. I want to say it's like G-E-E-V-E-E, but I don't think that's it. It could be something. But anyway, something I never heard of, and then there's another one, I think, for Xbox. It's got an X on it, I think. I don't know. I only saw it, you know.
I know.
Earlier this week.
I can't help you because I'm not exactly sure what it is you're looking at there.
Yeah, what it is, yeah.
Okay. I know. I don't want to give you any kind of advice thinking
right.
that it's one thing. If you're wanting to play Starfield, I would look at whatever the X one was labeled, but I don't necessarily know that that's the case. I have no idea what that is. Now, if you want to look over it and write some stuff down and then either call us back later or call us back next week, be happy to help you on that one if you got more information. But
yes, sir.
What type of TV is it, first off?
It's a Samsung smart TV.
Samsung. 4K. Okay. Samsung smart TV.
4K.
Xbox.
The smallest one they had. It was 43 inches. I had to go buy a board so it would fit on my TV table.
Is it Xbox Cloud Gaming on Samsung TVs? I'm just doing an internet look right now.
But would I be able to use the DualShock PS4 controller?
If they're saying you can, it sounds like you could. I imagine all you need to do is you somehow have to get that controller Bluetooth
paired.
Or whatever paired to the TV itself.
Okay.
So
now let me ask you that. If I do that, will it still be paired to my PlayStation 4, you know, that I've got plugged in? Yeah.
I don't know if the control. I'm not sure if the controller drops the connection.
To both ones, two devices at once.
Yeah.
Usually in my history, it usually just cuts it off and goes to one.
But if your PlayStation is.
I wouldn't use both of them. I would just be playing the TV or I would be playing the PS4, but I don't want to mess my controller up or then I can't use it on PS4 again because I don't know how to get it rehooked back up to the PS4.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, study on it. Let me know later in the show or next week.
Okay, we got people in the chat room throwing out answers right now as well.
Good. Well,
somebody
you collect those and let me know because I listen all the way till 6.
Okay.
So, thank you very much for your help. That was something I wanted to talk to y'all about. sorry to call so early, Chris, but since they were on the subject, the very subject that I had questions about. But thank you very much. We'll figure it out.
All right, buddy. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Dale.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. This is probably Chris. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
Robzilla.
Oh, it's Rob. Okay. Hey. Wow, Chris is just behind. Mm-hmm. You got two people calling in front of him. What's up, Rob?
Am I on air?
You are.
Yes.
Hang on a second. I'm hearing news talk in the background.
Oh, well, turn it down or whatever you need to do. And I don't hear it, by the way.
The app was playing over the phone call for some silly reason.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear it. Yeah. We couldn't hear it.
Okay. What I believe he's talking about is more or less an app you can get on smart TVs. I'm thinking one of them might be Xbox Live, which does let you use, most consoles. They're just basically USB or Bluetooth controllers anyway.
Yeah.
So he could probably plug it in without pairing it. And even if he did have to pair it, he could pair it with his PS4 or 5, whatever, as well. Or even if he had to repair it, it's not that big of a deal. Something that he's free to call me for a free console, so how to do it.
No, I figured that the controller probably would not hold the memory of, like, I'm connected to the PlayStation, and I'm also connected to this TV. It's going to do one or the other, and you got to unpair and pair back and forth. Now,
it's not going to lose any data. It just might have to reconnect it.
I'm curious, though, if you plug in other words, if he plugs into his TV, if he's able to do that, does it still hold the pair with the PlayStation? If he never pairs it and only plays it by plugging it in, does it still hold the pairing?
Well, if he just goes USB, it's never paired by Bluetooth.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it would never be paired, so it would never lose the connection to the PS5, but he'd still have it connected to his TV. Not that he probably wants to do that.
Probably, because you'd be playing both at the same time.
There's probably no reason he wants to do that, but Thar66 says that Game Pass is on the Samsung TVs. So by subscribing to Game Pass, you'd be able to play streaming Xbox games with that through your TV. So, that's up to you. Biloxi Gambler, the other option is to go buy a used PlayStation controller or Xbox controller, pair it to the TV, and then you've got an Xbox one and you got a Sony one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Steam might have something like that available too.
Say what now?
Steam.
Yeah, I was reading more about, like, Steam Link or something. There's a Steam Link app on some Samsung smart TVs. You could actually play PC titles.
Have you ever used the Steam gamepad that they sell?
I have it, and I have used it one time. I bought it and I used it, and I was like, all right, there we go.
It works after you configure or built a million things on it.
Yeah.
And it's great and all, but nothing beats the PC and
It never really clicked with me. I love the idea of how they had, like, the mouse pads and everything else, like the big owl-eye thing.
Yeah, controlling my computer with it, like, from my couch, controlling my big monitor from the computer, that was great.
Yeah.
But playing the games, I'd much rather just have DualShock.
I know. I used it very, very, hardly ever, honestly. It came with, like, the Steam Link, or I bought it. I don't remember what the deal was. But I was going to be playing it on, I was going to be streaming my PC games to my TV and then using that controller to play with. Just did not work out that great. The Steam Link didn't work out that great. It probably does now. But the controller did not work out that great either. And so I was just like, I'm fine with, playing stuff on my PC. So,
go old school.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, Rob. We're going over a break here.
Glad I finally called the show. See ya.
All right, man. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yeah, we're at the bottom of the hour here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll go into what I played at, I will go into what I played because I played some new stuff. Yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back. It is October, so it's all spooky game music, if it is spooky game. Like, I don't consider Bloodborne a horror game, but it's got that aesthetic, right?
Goth England, so yeah.
Yeah, it's got that whole, like...
It's like gothic London.
Yeah, exactly. So this track is called Accursed and Holy Blade, I believe is the name of the track. It's from Bloodborne. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from the game Little Inferno. It's called The City. You guys are still talking in the chat room about streaming services, I guess, here? Oh, no, you're talking about Dreamcast games. If I could get it digitally, I wouldn't mind selling it, but I'm not giving it... All those Victrums. Did you have those two games, Technomancer and Lotus?
Record of Lotus War? No, yeah. I didn't. But I know they existed. But yeah, a lot of Dreamcast games, you know, you see and you're like, meh. You don't think they fetch a fair price. You know, it's an old system, you know, old system, old games, right? But then you see some of the prices, you're like, my goodness. Mm-mm. I think they first started for me with Radiant Silver Gun, trying to get it on Saturn.
Yeah.
And I saw, this is an old title. It can't be much. Then I looked at eBay and saw those high triple digit prices. I'm like, goodness, I could get like two consoles for that price.
I know what PlayStation had a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of titles that were, I don't want to say rare, but they brought in a good amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Aftermarket type stuff, not aftermarket, but on whatever, the used market. Depending on the box that you had, certain box types.
Yeah.
It was like, if that's in the long box or the black bar box or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, for the PlayStation.
I guess it was PlayStation.
For the PlayStation, it was the one that the black bar or the greatest hits. The greatest hits did not have the same money value as the black bar.
Mm-hmm.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I think I've told you that before.
Right.
A buddy of mine saw at a garage sale where the homeowner didn't realize what she was selling. She had five copies of Castlevania Symphony of the Night Black Bar,
mm-hmm.
five of them, and she was selling them for $5 a piece.
Yep,
she didn't know. She just didn't know.
I remember that. So what did I play this weekend? I got further in Starfield, I don't even know where I left off in talking about Starfield, but I finally got off that first moon they sent you to and went to like the main area. I had already done this before playing through my Xbox, but I had spent so much time on that first moon, where I finally finished, scanning the entire planet. Like you were supposed to, like getting all the flora, the fauna, the elements, and everything else. I scanned all of that stuff.
Did you get the upgrade to let you scan faster?
I not scan faster, but scan further away.
Okay.
Yes. The first upgrade on that extends how far your scanner reaches.
Okay. So you don't have to get up in a in a beast's face,
right,
to get a good scan.
Yeah, yeah, okay,
yeah.
It actually scans pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you actually do a scan, it's very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I doubt that does it. It probably just extends the range that the scanner has. So I upgraded that, and I upgraded my booster. I upgraded my pistol, and I upgraded something else, and I can't remember what it was. Probably health. Because I had a lot of skill points to use and stuff, and I did that. I went and I started moving the story along, basically. Mm-hmm. And in something like this, you have to understand, when I say I'm moving the story along, I took like 3 steps. That's about it. Compared as to how many steps is in this story, I probably took the equivalent of 3.
Well, yeah, I mean, Bethesda, I mean, the side stories in all their mm-hmm. games is going to take up a significant portion of your time anyway.
Yeah.
Heck, you need them to level up anyway.
I went and talked to... I finally got a companion, which I think... It's the blonde woman who you meet at the as part of the main storyline thing, and I can't remember what her name is. But she... That's like one of the first people you get. She came with me, and... I had to go talk to this bartender I passed the security guard who said something, and that triggered a mission on my thing. Like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, I got to go talk to this bartender. So I went, Sarah, that's the name. Thank you, Thar. So I went and talked to the bartender. While I'm talking to the bartender, she's wanting me to do like, hey, I need some ingredients and they're locked away. Can you somehow get those for me? That'd be great.
Steal.
Yeah. My companion's looking at me like, we ain't got time for this. We're not doing this. Are you really going to do that? Like trying to throw some guilt my way? So I ended up saying, all right, lady, I'll talk to you, whatever. We're not going to do this, but I'll come back, you know? So me and Sarah went off to where my ship is, talked to some people there. When I was talking to those people, they kind of gave me a quick little side quest to go talk to other people. I told Sarah to stay here. I went and talked to those other people. That ended. Then I went back to the bartender and said, look, I'm going to do your thing. So she gives me the quest. I walk back past Sarah, who's sitting there waiting for her. When you tell somebody, like, hey, wait here a minute, they wait there forever, how long they have to. They wait there. Walk past Sarah. She doesn't care. I walk past her. I do the thing, which is basically talking to a security guard because the ingredients or whatever are in like storage that's been locked away. So I persuade him to like open the door for me. I get him to do that. I get that. I walk back to the bartender. I give it to her. Mission complete. It's done. I go back to Sarah and I was like, hey, we can do your thing now. Let's go. She's perfectly fine with it. She didn't know anything about it.
No.
And I thought that was great. I was like, okay, this is cool. I could just leave her here, go do the things she doesn't like, come back and get her.
Yeah. That's a similar format to what happens in some of the Fallout games. You can do some shady, underhanded activities as long as no one sees you do it.
Yeah.
You're good.
Well, that was also the other thing. Like, and I mentioned this on last week's episode, I think, where I'm talking to her and she's like, hey, you know, we don't really police you. You guys just do what you need to do. But, you know, just keep the police off our back. You know, don't let them bother us. But we don't care how you kind of go about doing things. We're not going to ask questions and not going to do that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Then I go talk to this lady. She's like, you really want to do that? Like, giving me guilt. I'm like, what? No, stop it. You just said you don't care what we do. So anyway, put her to the side, did my thing, came back and picked her up. And she was none the wiser, I guess. Thar says that he's married to her. His character is married to her in the game. The faction quest line are as good as the main story, is what he says. Well, I'll get to that. So,
yeah, there's a lot of good side...
That's what I've heard.
Side stories in the Fallout games to me. I mean, just as interesting as the main story.
So we go.
Hence the reason you do all the side stuff, because there's a whole bunch of good story writing in there in some in their games.
We get in the ship. We leave the area. We go to, I think it was Neptune, maybe, or Venus. No, it was Venus. I believe it was Venus. We go to Venus. I don't land on Venus. I'm in Venus orbit. And there's like some whatever bad people ships around, but there's a satellite I have to position my ship within 500 meters of and scan it to get information from, but to not be detected. So you like have to lower everything except for like 1 or 2 engines. You have to lower your shields. You have to lower your turn your weapons off, all this other stuff, just to kind of sneak up in there, scan the thing, do whatever you got to do. Which I did that, which took me to a space station, which I think was out by Neptune. Went through there, found a dude, talked to him, did this. It was really cool. Things were like, you know, this is good. It's all coming together. I'm still not happy with the inventory system, how it weights you down and all this other stuff. And I'll probably do
Bethesda.
I'll probably do a mod or something to where none of that matters, so I don't have to worry about that.
That whole setup sounds like a Star Trek episode, I don't remember. I had to approach a satellite and not be detected. They just basically turn the ship off.
Yeah,
I let it coast near it.
Yeah. Wouldn't doubt it. So did that, got done with it, went back to, I think I'm still on my ship, and that's where I stopped and saved it. But I think that's where, I'm at.
Still in space near the set and near Neptune?
Yeah. Just did that and like saved from there. Because I think I had to go, no. I'm sorry, no. Because I picked up another piece of the artifact from this guy that I saved. I took it back to the lodge or whatever that's on New Atlantis and placed it where I needed to. I finished that quest line, essentially. So, like, right now I have a lot of side quests to work on. And I haven't selected, like, my next main quest to do just yet. I don't think. But that's where I stopped. And the reason I stopped is because I started Cyberpunk 2077. And I'm really, really enjoying it. I am really enjoying it. I know you've played this.
I played before the DLC, yeah.
I haven't touched the DLC.
Oh, okay.
This is main games, because I've never played it.
Okay, well, it's a... having two story-based games going on at the same
time. I'm not going back and forth. I'm not. I'm going to be sticking with Cyberpunk. I honestly am. Unless I get that urge, because these are really, even the little amount of time I put into both, I say a little amount of time, I put in a ton of time with Starfield, I just haven't moved the story much, you know what I'm saying? Like I've played in that world a lot, but I haven't really advanced story or character or anything. I've just been going around exploring and doing whatever. Cyberpunk doesn't really give you, so far, doesn't really give you a chance to, like, just go explore. I've been following, they feel different. They really, really do. Starfield feels like an explorer RPG, a take your time, soak it in RPG. Cyberpunk gives me more of an action game than it does an RPG game so far. The shooting is better. Or at least so far from what I played, the combat feels better in Cyberpunk. I haven't really tried stealth in Starfield yet, but the stealth in Cyberpunk, I just did the training missions or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I was having, oh man, don't even get me started on whatever dash and dodge is, because mouse and keyboard, that is all messed up. I had to do that just to get through the training method, but I'm like, well, I guess I'm not doing hand-to-hand combat in this game. I know I may have to in certain situations, but if I don't, I won't.
Yeah.
I'll just pick up my gun and shoot you.
Yeah. I think the thing I was trying to say with the story thing, though, is that you might forget a lot of the elements that you were, that was fresh on your mind. And when you come back after so much, because what happened with you with the Last of Us 2?
I get that. I totally get it.
Now you may be able to get away with it with Starfield.
Yeah,
because you're going to be all over the place, and there's a whole bunch of stories that you're going to get into anyway.
Yeah,
so that's the case. With Cyberpunk, it's not that spread out.
It's not.
So you may.
It feels very linear so far
compared to that. Yeah.
Yeah, because right now I am at the. I'll tell you exactly where I'm at. I just did the first mission with the girl in the bathtub.
Okay. Yeah.
Then I went to
intermission,
right. I went to bed. I woke up. And old boy's downstairs with the car waiting to take me to the med guy or whatever. He's downstairs with the car ready to do that. That's where I saved off. So, I mean, that's how far into it I am.
Early.
Which is very, very, very early. But I can tell you the combat feels much better because I already did that mission where I get the girl out of the bathtub. I stealthed a little bit of that, but not much. I stealthed like two guys, and once that was done, it was like, all right, guns blazing, because I did it right in front of a dude that saw me. So I went ahead
I did more stealth in that mission. I snuck around, instead of going directly in there, I went around the back to yeah. the right side.
Oh, I saw where I could. Yeah, yeah. Only but after it was over with, I saw where I could do all of that.
Yeah.
But I made it through no problem. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I just, I got to hand it to Cyberpunk and I guess their update or whatever, but it looks better than Starfield. It looks better than Starfield.
And you're playing it on a...
I'm playing it on PC.
On PC.
Yeah. Okay. Looks way better than Starfield. I don't know if it's because there's just more lighting effects with the neon and everything else. I don't know if it's... I don't know. Just something about... And I guess that's kind of what I was saying to Steve last week. Mm-hmm. Whereas Starfield's a sipper, man. Starfield is a, you know, just sort of... soak it in, absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's like, hey man, I'm not doing anything today and I am good for time, just going as slow as possible. So let's play some Starfield.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't feel actiony. I do a whole lot more exploring in Starfield. And when I mean exploring, I mean any aspect of it, I mean explore. If I get on a new ship or a satellite or something like that, I am going to map that place out, hitting every single door as I go through it.
So it feels like you turned it into No Man's Sky.
Kinda.
Yeah, so.
A little bit. Even though I'm not into like building anything yet, but kind of.
Yeah.
The other thing being is that Cyberpunk just feels like it's ready to go every single time I pop it open.
Mm.
You know, it is there with like, all right, we're going to do this. Get your guns, get in the car, let's go. You know,
yeah.
It's ready to rock as soon as I log in.
Yeah.
Starfield is like, hey, let's go see what's over that hill. Hey, let's go see another planet, or let's scan a few things while we're here. Or
it's like I said, one's an explorer, the other's a mercenary.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I mean, one is going to have more action than the other.
And anyway, so I'm just gravitating towards Cyberpunk more so than I did with Starfield. Trust me, I love Starfield. I keep seeing videos of Starfield, and I'm like, I kind of want to go pilot my ship. I kind of want to go, you know, do some stuff in there. But as I sit down, I'm like, let's see what Cyberpunk's doing. You know, let's knock out this mission real quick in Cyberpunk, which is usually how that plays out. I'm going to knock out a quick mission in Cyberpunk. Ends up being, let me knock out three or four quick missions in Cyberpunk, or let me do this, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, usually because it has a bunch of shooting and action in there that you just want a little bit more of.
I mean, you see where I'm at in the game, which is very early on.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I've gotten to the credits yet. The opening, does it have an opening credit sequence?
It's been a while since I played it, but goodness, I can't remember an opening sequence.
Yeah.
I just remember going to action and going back to going back and forth to the apartment.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm playing. That's what I've been playing. And there's a demo out right now on Steam for the Talos Principle 2.
Hmm. Okay.
It apparently was hidden in their website for the game as like a little Easter egg for people to find.
Yeah.
Once they found it, though, they started sharing the link all over the place. And so I found the link. I didn't even know they were doing this. It wasn't until it's officially released now. So you can go to Steam and find the demo for Talos Principle 2.
Mm-hmm.
They're using Unreal Engine 5. This thing looks fantastic. It's, man, I kind of wish they didn't do what they had done with this demo. The demo opens with just like you're playing puzzles from the first game. You're collecting these little shapes that will eventually, you know, be like Tetris puzzle pieces that mm-hmm. open a door that lead to something else. And all the old things were there, you know, direct the beam and turn on the fan or put the cube here or lower the thing or use the scanner to block the thing, whatever, you know, all the different tropes. They're all there in the introduction thing. Once you finish the introduction, once you get the red gate open, you have to collect all the green blocks to open the green gate. When you go in there, you collect all the yellow blocks to open up the yellow gate. When you go in there, you collect all the red blocks to open the red gate. When you open the red gate, you go inside, you step inside, the whole thing blows wide open. And I am not going to go any further than that. Because if you are not going to play this demo, but you are going to play this game, or even if you're going to play this demo, I do not want to spoil you on what happens after you go through the red gate.
Mm-hmm.
It was not something I was expecting.
Was it a pleasant surprise?
So far, I'm not sure.
So far, okay.
I'm not sure. because I will say that compared to the first game, there is a lot less puzzle solving in this demo than I was expecting. It starts out that way, but then it really, really just... I'm saying this with a bit of a grin on my face because I'm kind of excited for it. I haven't really gone much deeper after mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. I'm a little excited for it. I'm a little worried that they may have... I want to solve puzzles.
And when you say that, I think about how the current generation of gamers,
mm-hmm.
a lot of complaints I hear about games in terms of puzzles, they really don't like puzzles. But I don't know how that would get into a game that's specifically made for solving puzzles.
Yeah.
I mean, what I hear about Resident Evil sometimes, I don't like the puzzle solving, and then the remakes get made, and there's less puzzles in there than used to be. The puzzles that you remember that you want to go through, they're not there anymore. What happened? Well, too many people didn't like the puzzles, so we just took them out. And so, I guess puzzle solving is being like a thing of the past, basically. But the game that's game about puzzle solving,
well,
it hits that too.
That's my whole thing is maybe it's setting it up for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's giving me a different. If you remember Talos Principle 1, it was this android robot thing that was being talked to by who he could only consider to be God.
Mm-hmm.
Some voice, some disembodied voice. It had that whole big booming voice echoey thing. I mean, it gave a mm-hmm. representation of God. And a lot of what the Talos Principle was about being human. A robot learning, like, what is it to be human? What is it to know religion or to know emotion or to know this or that? There's a whole lot of, maybe existentialism a little bit. There's a whole lot of philosophy.
You had to do a lot of thinking.
Whole bunch of thinking and reading. And we know how much I hate that. But
unless it's entertaining. That's the idea.
It kept the mystery going.
If it's entertaining, it'll keep you interested.
Then you made it to the tower, and you had more puzzles to solve as you ascended this tower into the heavens, and then you went through literally pearly gates as an android. You went through the gates, and there was an ending. Then there was some DLC, which I don't ever remember playing, but I own it. And it feels like this demo is like, okay, here's what you remember. Now, here's what we're going to give you in the sequel.
Mm.
That philosophy aspect and that sort of existentialism, it's a lot of it's still there in some of the dialogue that I was getting. But everything else, story-wise or whatever, has completely gone into a direction I did not know that they were going to go with this. And I can't say that that's all they're doing because I haven't really gone past it. Like Cyberpunk, I may have just played an introduction,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm getting a better introduction of, like, here's the world you're in now. From what you discovered last time you played this game, here's what has happened since, here's what's going on now, here is your setup for what you're going to be doing in the game. So I don't know if it's... Yeah. I need to play more. It's a pretty big chunk of a demo. I mean, it's a really big chunk of a demo when you actually get through it. Past that first open area where you solve the basic puzzles again.
Yeah.
It does change up on you. So, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to it. Unreal Engine 5, I had some stutter on mine, but it was still not bad to go through. Stutter only happened during some minor cinematic type stuff. But for the most part, solving puzzles and everything else, that was fluid as anything, and it looked just beautiful. And so I'm looking forward to that coming out in November. We got a date for that, by the way. Coming up on In-Game Chat, we're going to hit the news next hour and just go through some of the things that were going on news-wise. And I know somebody called. If they want to call back, they're more than welcome to. It's 272-9228. Probably Chris. I haven't talked to him today. But keeping in with the Halloween theme, this comes from the PlayStation, I want to say it's PlayStation 2 or 3, Harry Potter game. Prisoner of Azkaban. The track is called, it's the ambient noise for when the Dementors are around in that game. So anyway, that's what it is. That's what it's from. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back to In-Game Chat. Music from Hellblade. Not really a horror game. I don't know, it's got, you know, mental horrors, I suppose, but not really a horror game.
No, suspense.
Yeah. But it's got some spooky music. And that's really what we look for.
Especially, especially when suffering with delusions and
exactly
and things like that. So yeah.
Yeah,
which can be scary, so yeah.
Just spooky music is all we're after here. So there you go, from Hellblade. By the way, last year we played some tracks from an album that was released in October. I don't know, Full Moon Studios or something. I can't remember the name of it was. I have it in here. But anyway, they're doing Volume 2 this year, and I've reached out to see if we can get a copy of that to use as well. There was kind of like remixes, but it was done for Halloween stuff. Let's see if I've got it here. On my, I wrote him back. Well, I don't see it now.
It'll come to you later.
Yeah, at some point it will. Oh wait, let me just go to the sent messages. That'll do it. There it is. It's their annual Halloween. What is it called? Scarlet Moon, that's what it was. Scarlet Moon Halloween Volume 1 was last year. And this year they've got Scarlet Moon Volume 2. They got music for Banjo-Kazooie, Final Fantasy 16? Yeah, Final Fantasy 16 is in there. Majora's Mask, Secret of Mana. Ragnarok Online is in there as well. So a lot of good tracks. Oh, wow. Only 6 tracks on this one? Huh. All right. Apparently 6 tracks. Wasn't that many on the last one either. Yeah. And one of those was a remix of another track.
Yeah.
So,
Castlevania, Silent Hill. 2 tracks from Silent Hill, the short version and the long version.
Right.
Some from Metroid, Resident Evil. Remixes of some titles, yeah.
Yep.
But only speaking 7 on that one.
Speaking of Castlevania, by the way, I don't know if you... Do you have Netflix? Do you subscribe to Netflix?
Yeah.
Have you watched the new Castlevania yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But it's on my list. Yeah,
Castlevania Nocturne.
Nocturne, yeah.
I have not yet, but it has been renewed for a second season and is apparently already in production with that second season. So, fantastic there. Good job. I got rid of Netflix back in August, I think. I think it was. And then they mentioned they were raising their prices again. So I was like, well, I don't know that I'm going to be coming back to you anyway. So we'll see. But, so good news there. Anyway.
Nocturne was, how many episodes was it?
6? 10?
No. 6?
I don't know.
No.
I have no idea.
Because if it was a typical anime season is 12 episodes, so is it really 2 seasons if you just split an original anime season in half?
But I don't think they did that. I mean, they produced 1 season, and now they're in production on a second season.
Yeah.
That's not coming out anytime soon.
Okay, 8. 8 yeah. episodes, okay.
Yeah, the next season will probably be out I don't know about next year.
Oh, wow. It'll be ready when it's ready.
Yeah, AC Wraith says the first season is mostly backstory. Yeah, that might be something I wait and watch when season two actually releases to get it better, a better idea from it.
Because did Netflix introduce us to binge watching?
They did, yeah.
So
I don't mind backstories. I mean, you got to have your setup, but I'd hate to go through it. That was a lot of what the first season was. Mm-hmm. The first season of the first series was a lot of, all right, we're setting the tone. Here's our characters. You know, season two was, okay, now they're moving the plot along.
And world building, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They had to. They had to go with not necessarily the origin of Dracula, but at least a lot of, like...
Why he did what he did.
Exactly. Yeah. Going through that backstory. The backstory of...
And you...
Dracula and his wife.
His wife, yeah.
Yeah.
And you couldn't blame him. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
It was good. It was extreme, but
yeah, you were like, then you see why he did what he did, and you're like, I understand.
Yeah, see, AC Wraith says, I'd wait until the second season comes to bother watching. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that. Plus, I've been this long without seeing, you know, at the end of the last Castlevania series, I can wait again. You know, I can wait longer for it.
You got plenty of stuff to keep you occupied.
Well, what I would like to go back and do now is to watch Edge Runners, right? Is it Edge Runners or Net Runners? The Cyberpunk series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's on Edge Netflix. Runners, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Once I get more into Cyberpunk, I'd probably like to go back and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember much of the episodes.
That would just start over.
Yeah, I would just start over. Probably a lot of it would make more sense now that I'm playing the game, too.
Mm-hmm.
But... speaking of Cyberpunk, they're getting a live-action television show. I don't know who's doing this. Was it AMC maybe had mentioned that? Let's see. Developer CG Projekt Red announced on Thursday that they are working on a live-action TV series set in the universe of the tabletop RPG. They are teaming up with Anonymous Content, a global media company known for its work producing such shows as True Detective and Mr. Robot. All right, got a good pedigree there. Doesn't say if anybody's picking that up, though. Looking here. What did we say that was? There was Mr. Robot and True Detective. True Detective was HBO. Mr. Robot was whatever. Was that USA, I think, or something? Successful launch of the game's finished. CD Projekt Red, favorable position to capitalize on. Okay. All right. That's all we got.
Work in progress.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is all. Which will be interesting because they have a Witcher show and now they have a Cyberpunk anime and a Witcher live action, and now they're going to have a Cyberpunk live action.
Mm-hmm.
All right, CD Projekt Red, go right ahead. We found out that Animal Crossing is going to get Lego sets.
Big sets?
We don't know. Rumor is there's, I think, 5 different build sets that are going to be coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Probably something like maybe the town hall building, Nook's Cranny, the museum perhaps, or the coffee shop is a possibility. But you're definitely getting the minifigs, which are the really tiny figures.
Mm.
Shaped after different townsfolk of Animal Crossing. So that's actually going to happen. The minifigs are, usually you'll find them in sets. I don't know how they're going to do this, if they're going to sell them separately or if they're going to come in sets. For instance, the Muppet minifigures, that's all they are. They're minifigures. You have to go out and buy packs, almost like baseball cards. You open it up, see which one you got. All right, this one's new. This one's a repeat of something I already have.
Yep.
You know?
Trade
with your
friends.
You do.
Yeah.
There's like 12 of them. And so, you know, that's how you have to collect those. Or you can go online and you can buy full sets that people have collected if you want to do it that way. So if they're going to do it that way, and I don't know that they will, but if they're going to do it that way, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's only 8 of them. I don't think they're going to do the packs. I think that either certain ones will show up in those sets. Because let's look at Star Wars. Star Wars has minifigs, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't sell those in like little packs, individual packs. The minifigs would pop up depending on what set you're making. So if you were making...
They're saying like something like Ewok only comes with Endor.
Right. If you were making like the Ewok set, you would get a bunch of Ewoks, and maybe you would get, C-3PO on a throne, as king or something. Yeah. So something that is unique to that set.
Yeah.
If you're making a TIE fighter, you'd get this certain stormtrooper mm-hmm. who flies that, and that's the only way you'd get that. Or the trash compactor scene, which is a Lego set. You get all of them that are involved in that trash compactor scene. You know, Chewie and Luke and Leia and R2.
Yeah.
You get all of that stuff. So I think the minifigs will probably show up with the sets. Maybe. I don't know. I could be completely wrong on this. So who knows on that one. All right. I'm still just jumping in and out of the news. Good news is that about 100 devs at the studio who develops Just Cause, Avalanche, that's who. I was trying to think, what studio is that? Avalanche Studios. 100 employees at Avalanche Studios are unionizing. It means around a fifth of the 500-person Swedish team is now bargaining with the company's management for a fair contract. I hate that it is just them being the union. Like, I wish... Honestly, the video game developers need a union badly. They need one, and wrestlers need one. We've talked about this before. Wrestlers badly need a union. And I would go so far as to say that the game devs do as well. I don't know as much about, you know, that situation. I know crunch is horrible.
We all know about the crunch.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Crunch is just ridiculously horrible. They really need to. And not only that, the union. So sticking with that and jumping over to the opposite end of the spectrum with that. Keywords Studios. Keyword Studios, all of their unionized QA workers got laid off from the studio late last month after BioWare declined to continue its contract in August. They were contracted to assist with playtesting and quality assurance at BioWare Edmonton. They won their union vote in June of last year. Apparently, it was a historic vote, making the group the first games industry union in Canada. Keyword Studio workers were in bargaining with the company when they were laid off following the news of 50 job cuts at BioWare itself. So they were laid off on September 27th. Now you got Epic Games, or Epic. I don't say Epic Games, but anyway, Epic. They're running into financial problems as well. I don't exactly know how severe those financial problems are. I imagine we're going to get news of layoffs coming up, though. But they're hitting, bad for them as well. Let's see, what else is going on that's in bad news? Naughty Dog is cutting developers. Laying off, let's see, what are they doing? Big wave of layoffs. Even contract developers at Naughty Dog aren't immune. Kotaku has learned that the maker of hits like Uncharted 4 and Last of Us Part 2 have begun cutting contracts short for dozens of workers. Layoffs were communicated internally at the Santa Monica studio last week. According to two sources familiar with the situation, departments ranging from art to production were impacted, but the majority of those laid off worked in quality assurance testing. There's that QA again. But see, that's where most people start. Like, if you want to get into the game industry type thing, if you want to get into game development, you almost always start at QA.
Yeah.
Daniel, who was on the show.
Yeah.
When he went to work for Bungie, he started at QA in Bungie.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved up from there. I don't know where he's working now, actually. He doesn't work with Bungie anymore. I don't know where he's doing.
So the testers, the quality assurance, the
Those are usually the first. They're usually the first that go because they may not have anything to find bugs with at the moment. You know, there's a lot of time between like getting all these things in place to get to testing, and so you know you kind of hold off on that, I guess, or you just kind of let them go. They'll rehire, I'm sure. Quality assurance testing. The source has also said that at least 25 developers were part of the downsizing as well. Full-time staff do not appear to have been part of the cuts. Naughty Dog's headcount was over 400 as of July, so they let off 25 developers, and I don't know how many people from QA got laid off as well. No severance is being offered for those currently laid off, and that impacted developers as well as remaining employees are being pressured to keep the news quiet. Their contracts won't be officially terminated until the end of October, and they'll be expected to work through the rest of the month. The multiplayer spinoff for The Last of Us has been struggling in development. Bloomberg reported in June that Sony had diverted resources away from the project following a negative internal review by Bungie. The recently acquired live service powerhouse behind Destiny 2. So apparently, I guess they were giving a review of the multiplayer of this Last of Us thing they were doing. One source now tells Kotaku that the multiplayer game, while not completely canceled, is basically on ice at this point. So,
yeah, I think we've talked about
we've
talked about multiplayer before.
I was about to say you been down this road.
Some games you don't ask for multiplayer.
I don't think of multiplayer when I think of Uncharted or Last of Us, man. And I bet there's a bunch of people, I guess, who do. I don't know. Who are these people?
The minority.
Yeah, I don't exactly know.
We talk about this with Dead Space. I'm playing Dead Space for the story, not for the multiplayer aspect.
Yeah.
So, you want multiplayer, you know, play a fighting game or play Call of Duty or whatever first person.
I don't mind that it's out there right now. Like, I don't mind when they release a game like that and like, hey, we got a multiplayer part of it too. I'm not going to touch it, and I don't mind it's there, and people can play it if they want to. But this was like a standalone, we're going to multiplayer Last of Us thing setting. It never seemed like a great idea to me.
No.
I'm like, where? Unless, of course, Last of Us Arena?
No.
Of course, it's coming from Sony where it's like, I want you to live service this thing up, you know? Like, make this. It ain't going to cost you much to make this, but we can make a bunch of money off of it by offering all these things where people got to pay different things to get whatever, you know, skins and stuff like that. I know you're shaking your head, but that's the way these people think.
I know that's how they think, but you're trying to Fortnite or something.
Leave it to them, man.
No.
Yeah, leave it to them to do that.
So, I mean, these are the same folks that came with PlayStation All-Stars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, how'd that go for you? Trying to out-smash Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Looking at more here. So, record breaking. Okay. So, yeah. Just in the world of just bad dev news. Hey, we could keep going with this, too. But wait, there's more.
Joy.
If you get all of these, we're going to throw in a sexual assault investigation. For free. 5 former Ubisoft employees detained in France this week. 3 on Tuesday, 2 on Wednesday. A Ubisoft chief creative officer, at least former Ubisoft chief creative officer, I'm not going to try to pronounce that guy's name, Sergey, is probably how that first name is pronounced, or it's otherwise known as Serge, but I doubt it. And a former editorial vice president, Tommy Francois. Look at this. I'm not butchering. I can do French. They were among the 5 people detained and questioned by French police. In 2020, current and former Ubisoft workers accused the company of creating a culture that normalized sexual assault and harassment and allowed it to thrive. Multiple top-level employees were accused. I remember when we talked about this. In the weeks and months that following the allegations, several people resigned or were fired. In fact, the creative director and editorial vice president at Ubisoft Toronto was let go. after being accused of choking a female employee. The creative director for Assassin's Creed Valhalla had an inappropriate relationship with a fan and was gone. The investigation began in 2021 after French Union Solidaires and several impacted employees filed complaints regarding Ubisoft and its culture. They spoke to 50 current and former Ubisoft workers over a year before taking the five former employees into custody this week. Says they have not, doesn't appear that they've been charged, but French law allows police to arrest and hold people suspected of a crime for up to 24 hours without a charge. Polygon has reached out to the judicial court and the victim's lawyer, and there is no update as of yet. A Ubisoft representative issued the following statement. Ubisoft has no knowledge of what has been shared and therefore can't comment. That is all they said. So, yeah. I think we're good. I think we covered the development section of the news here and what's going on with development. We got a lot more news coming up, though, to cover, so stick around for us as we do that. We're done with the development news, though. Like all the development studios, firings, unionizing, and sexual harassment. We're all done with those. I think. I got to go through and look. These things still could pop up. Got music here from a horror game. I think it is a... it's from Thailand, I think it's called. It's called Home Sweet Home. And It is the main menu music from that game. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. To In-Game Chats. It's October, so it's spooky month, so we're playing spooky music from spooky games. Well, not always spooky games. This one, I think, is. It's Inscription. And it is the Angler is the name of the track here from Inscription. I still haven't played that yet. I don't think I have it, or maybe I do.
You probably do.
I don't know. It's on Steam.
Probably do.
I think I may be getting it with this month's Humble Bundle. It's all, I think it's all like spooky horror games on this month's Humble Bundle, by the way. So, take a look at it if you're interested. Anyway, welcome back to the show here. All right, let's jump back into more news. And what else did we have? You know, we talked about the dev stuff. Redfall, that horrible game from BioWare. No, it was Bethesda, wasn't it? That was Bethesda. Because that was a big deal for like one of the exclusives that they were going to get. Microsoft had, because they own the studio, by the way.
Yeah.
But the player count has dropped so low on Steam that there's not even enough to make a full team in the game. That is how low the player count has dropped.
That's bad.
On Redfall. It is really
bad.
Oh,
that's bad.
It's very bad. It was horrible. What a horrible game. And I feel bad for the devs putting that in. It feels like it honestly, Arcane can make a game, man. We know that. They did Dishonored. They did Prey. We know they can do the game. They can make a game. But Redfall was just... Redfall feels like a game that was made on corporate input rather than developer input.
I was about to say, was this a rush job or something?
Or at least maybe that aspect to it. Yeah. Like, y'all taking too long. We've got to get this thing out. Let's do it. Just, you know, put a bow on it and get it out there. Even though these things aren't fixed or these things aren't tweaked or, you know, your Q&A hasn't done all of the, that it needs to do, let's just wrap it up and get it sent out, you know? I don't know if it feels like a rush job because I didn't play it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really read a lot of reports of bugs more than I read a lot of reports that there's just, it just lacks in every single aspect. The combat's not fun. The story's not fun. Just nothing there.
But with your pedigree, you've put out some, you put out two bangers beforehand, but before, but with this.
Yeah. And according to that Microsoft leak we got a couple weeks back, they're going to be putting out a third Dishonored, which, look, Arcane hasn't ruined their reputation yet. Yeah, they released that game, but they're fine. Mm-hmm. They can easily redeem themselves with another Prey, another Dishonored, even another game that's original. Mm-hmm. And just plays better. They can do that. They haven't really killed any kind of reputation. Or at least there's enough love still left for them that people would give them another chance.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a lot of complaints about like, man, don't trust Arcane, man. They've been... Nah. It was like their first bad release.
Yeah.
They may have also done... what was the other one? The...
Arcane?
Deathloop.
Okay, Deathloop.
I think Arcane did Deathloop as well. But I don't remember. Probably like Arcane West.
Arcane Studios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Deathloop wasn't bad. It didn't get a bad rap either.
I'm not hearing a lot of negative.
No, not at all. Not at all. Redfall? Not good. Ever. Yeah. Never heard a good thing about that. The only good thing I heard about Redfall was like, there probably was a good game here. But we'll never know.
Or is it like one of them situations where we got these this unfinished project. We got to do something with it. Do what you can with it and get it out there.
It feels like it could have been a response to something, and I don't know. Like maybe there was a trend going on at the time, and because it is multiplayer or it is like co-op multiplayer type stuff, mm-hmm. Redfall is, and I'm not sure if they just thought, hey, look. You know, Apex Legends is doing great, or whatever these little team shooter things are doing great. All these different aspects to it. Let's make something in that vein. And it just failed.
Yeah.
Something like that. Don't know.
Yeah. One won't be your downfall, but multiple definitely will be.
Yeah, yeah. What else do we have in the news here? If you're a PlayStation Plus Premium or Deluxe subscriber, which neither RJ or myself are, although I've looked into it because I can throw down like 100 and some odd bucks to bump me up to Premium or Deluxe for the next ever how many thousands of days I've got left on my PlayStation stuff.
Yeah.
So,
but is it worth it?
I don't know. But I would only pay, I would pay that and it'd be another 1,000 or so days before it ever charged me again.
Yeah.
So I'm getting at least like 4 years out of this, maybe. Mm. Three or four years out of it if I did that. Mm. And I'd have access to a bunch of stuff. By the way, I checked. I do not have the remember I told you if you bought a PlayStation 5, you get a free game offer type thing?
Yeah.
I don't see that offer anywhere on my machine.
Okay.
I didn't see it in the stores. I was looking for it. I was trying to find it. I need to Google some more just to see, but it may be one of those things where it's like, no, if you get it, it's going to be something that pops up on your dash or pops up in the store, says claim your free game or something like that, if you qualify.
Yeah.
But they didn't release anything that says you qualify or you how to qualify other than buying a PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
But apparently it had to be within a certain window and not launch.
It just makes me want to reminisce about the days when you bought a console
and got a free game.
Game came in there with it.
I know.
Boxed and everything. And two controllers. Remember that? Remember them days?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Two controllers and a free game.
Mm.
And you got the system as well with it. What was the free game that came with the Genesis? I know it was Sonic, but before Sonic. Columns?
Might have been. Because I played Columns, yeah.
I think it was Columns.
Columns, yeah.
And Super Nintendo was Super Mario World. Nintendo, of course, was Mario. And then later, Mario Duck Hunt. Altered Beast.
Oh, that's it, yeah. Altered Beast.
Why did I think Columns came with it? You thought it too.
I did think it too because I have Columns.
Well, I do too.
There may have been multiple games that came with the Genesis during its run.
I remember.
You may have had a multi pack in there for all I know.
I remember Altered Wise from Your Grave.
Yep. you remember the remake of that?
No.
Good.
I was going to say, from the look on your face when you asked me, it sounds like it's probably best I didn't.
Thank whatever deity you worship that you do not remember that horrible remake of that game. Goodness. Mm.
That reminds me of Bomberman Zero,
mm-hmm.
which was like, I don't know what they were trying to do with Bomberman. Bomberman's like this cute little fun little game. And they're like, well, what if we made it first person and edgy? That's not what Bomberman is. And you'll see that whenever you release that game and nobody buys it. And they released it and nobody bought it. And it got dragged in reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released Bomberman Arcade for the Arcade 360. Thing was a top seller because it was Bomberman. It's what Bomberman's supposed to be.
If it ain't broke.
God. Ugh. Bomberman X-Zero. Oh, let's see what else we have. Oh, Battle.net had some outages, forcing Blizzard to apologize as players had no access to their games. I don't know for how long, but Battle.net hit something. Speaking of Battle.net, it looks like next week Microsoft will close on the Activision Blizzard thing. So next week, Microsoft will be short $68.7 billion. A drop in the bucket probably to them. But $68 billion will be gone sometime next week when they acquire Activision Blizzard. They hope to close by Friday the 13th.
Mm.
Good date to pick. Looks like that's gonna be the thing. That's gonna happen. So, yeah, it's gonna be massive. Wonder how long it'll take from that point to the library hitting Game Pass,
mm-hmm.
to Bobby Kotick getting booted out and
with Severance
sailing off in his golden parachute.
Yeah, with Severance,
I know. Yeah,
as opposed to the. Folks we talked about earlier.
Well, no, I think he gets severance, but then he gets something on top of that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, a massive amount on top of that. I mean, whatever. He's still.
We're paying you.
Pay him all the money in the world to go away.
Yeah.
He needs to go away. I hate that they got to do it, but that's in contracts. It's business stuff. It's stupid business
stuff.
And then
he'll pop up in something else.
I know. He will. Hopefully nothing that anybody wants to give him attention for. Yeah, I know. Lethal Migraine's like, even after that, Microsoft's going to be filthy rich. Yeah, I know. Yeah. They are. They totally are. I get it. I know they are. And ready to buy up Nintendo or Steam or Valve or whatever that they said they were looking at buying. I don't know what other companies they may... I honestly, if they want to buy some smaller ones, sure, but stop going after just... Yeah. Let EA do EA's thing. Don't buy Capcom. You know? Don't buy Nintendo. Stupid. But don't buy Valve or whatever. You know, just let them do their thing.
Mm-mm.
That's what I would like them to do anyway.
Yeah, but whatever gets that bottom line looking right.
Thar66 says, I think they're done with acquisitions after this for a while. And I would say, yeah, given all the court stuff they had to go through this, they're probably like, okay, when we do this again next time, we need to really think this out and flesh it out and get our ducks in a row before we jump into this.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that when we announce we're going to buy something like this again, Sure, they're gonna. You're gonna find that they bought other smaller studios. That's just gonna happen. This is what companies do.
5 years.
Yeah, you think it'll be 5 years before they announce
within,
another
within
big
five, within 5 years.
Another big big studio purchase.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get another one.
Mark this episode so we can find the date to go back and be like, he said 5 years. See, it came true. Yeah. Oh, let's see. Randy Orton, speaking of wrestlers again, he paid somebody $1,000 to level up his character in Elden Ring. I don't...
Before the Radon glitch?
Oh, I have no idea. I'll read the story if you want to. What do we have? Randy Orton plays Elden Ring on his tour bus between events. In a recent broadcast, a behind-the-scenes wrestling live stream on Twitch, hosted by some other wrestlers, the pair revealed that Orton once approached them before an episode of Monday Night Raw to tell them how much he enjoys playing From Software's brutal yet beautiful action role-playing game. However, Orton's affinity for the Elden Ring game didn't necessarily derive from the grind its early act demanded out of players. In fact, he disliked having to level up so much that he opted to avoid it entirely by paying somebody $1,000 to give him a bunch of runes, which act as the game's currency and experience points, so that he could level up his character immediately. He said, yeah, it's hard. I paid a guy $1,000 to give me infinite runes so I could level up to 100 right away.
Just to 100.
Orton told them, I love that game, though. It's awesome. But no, I couldn't deal with that BS, so I just paid a guy to give me a bunch of runes. Orton's pay-to-win playstyle of getting through Elden Ring's tough opening moments, while a baller move in some respects, isn't new to gaming or Elden Ring. Yeah.
I'm sorry, just to 100.
I guess. I don't know. The problem I have with that, I don't have a problem with it. Dude's got money. He's free to spend it however he wants to.
Hey, your money, have
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's free to do it any way he wants to. You know, I was talking earlier about Starfield and how, like, I would get a mod that takes away the problems of the inventory.
Yeah.
There's lots of... In fact, one of the things when I installed Cyberpunk, it has a... I don't know what it's called. Like a launch... screen type thing. Like when you launch it from Steam, another window pops up. And it's like CD Projekt Red's window. So it's like, here's the games you own, which one you want to play. You know, and so I click on Cyberpunk, because through Steam, that's all I have. If it was GOG, I've got Witcher. You know? But through Steam, that's all I've got. So there's also something that says enable Red mods, because the CG Projekt Red, they have Red mods.
Yeah.
You can enable that and play with mods if you want to. They're not restrictive to you to do that. And I don't mind it.
Because they're fully optional.
They aren't optional.
Like the mods in Fallout 4.
What it made me feel like, though, or what it made me think about, was that when I watched somebody play Destiny for the first time, and this is the only way I can relate because I, you know, there's, it's what I did for 10 years, play Destiny.
Yeah.
You've got to go through that slog of the beginning of Destiny. You got to go through that low weapon stuff, that training. You got to go talk to these people and do this. And they make you do all these other things. The reason they do that is because that's the majority of the game. And the more you do it, the better at it you get. You get your muscle memory down. You get that repetitiveness of, like, here's my build. There's a group. Let me throw grenade or let me throw smoke to debuff them, and then let me fire. But that's stuff you learn as you go. You develop a pattern for attacking and combat for groups and things like that. Just the same way in Starfield or in Cyberpunk, you probably have a pattern in which you play combat. You know, I'm going to crouch here. I'm going to stealth up until I can't, and then I'm going to pull out shotgun and do this or go, oh, it's close range. Your muscle memory, your mind, it gets all of these things in here as you go, but you got to put in the time to do that. A trainer, a mod, takes that away from you. One of the worst feelings in the world is, and maybe it's not, but it is to me, one of the worst feelings of the world is to start a game that I've never played before, get a trainer or a mod that gives me all the experience points I need, everything that you know I can do. I can level up to massive to max level right there at the beginning of the game. I don't know what to do with myself.
The DLC bonus purchase or the season pass that comes with the XP booster at the beginning of the game.
There's that.
Something like that.
Like,
that that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
I haven't developed my play style enough to know even what to do. So how do I know that, you know, yeah, I picked up a perk that does this, but what does that do? God of War is a great example. I'll tell you the difference. God of War, Jedi Survivor, or Fallen Jedi, whatever it was.
Fallen Order?
Fallen Order.
Okay.
Yeah. God of War was a slow rank of like, I'm going to level up, I'm going to earn this ability, I'm going to unlock this move, and this move requires me to press X two times and then press square whatever afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's the pattern for it. If I was given all of that ahead of the game, I wouldn't be paying attention to any of these things, and I wouldn't remember the memory of, hey, when you have an AoE attack, and then you also have this rush attack, you have this attack that blocks and then hits, I wouldn't know any of that. All I'd know is, I got all the moves. I'll just press buttons and go, because it won't take the time to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think that does. I don't begrudge anybody who goes through this. If you want to go through that sort of thing and get that stuff, Fallen Order, I did that with.
Mm-hmm.
Fallen Order, I ran through it with everything unlocked and just went, because the map was
irritating.
Making me annoyed.
Yeah. Irritating, yes, we get that.
Although I will say the thing with Jedi Survivor is it didn't unlock everything even if you had the ability, you couldn't unlock certain stuff. The story unlocked things for you, and then you could unlock them if you had ability points.
Mm-hmm.
So it really wasn't a big deal, but that's how I felt.
Yeah.
Because just after coming off Ragnarok, going into Fallen Order, it was a sense of I knew what to do with my character in Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had strategy.
Mm.
No strategy in Fallen Order. Just throw him a thing, pick it up, block, throw him a thing, you know, do this, whatever, move out of the way. Very little.
Yeah.
So.
In terms of Elden Ring.
That's a good question, though. I don't know about Elden Ring.
In terms of Elden Ring, what it does for him is it may give him a false sense of doing good at the game, especially in the first part, but New Game Plus, you know, I don't know how much. That will make him learn how to deal with certain enemies.
You were talking about like, oh, you only got him to 100. What level are you at?
I'm a 2. That was a while. It was 200 something.
Okay.
Playing in that, but playing that game, you learned it. Elden Ring or all the From Software titles, you're going to have to go through a slog to learn how to deal with enemies, learning how to back off and everything like that. But starting from level 100 from jump, you know, may give you a little false sense of your ability to handle enemies. I mean, at a level 100 at the beginning, you're taking folks out in one hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not having to deal with those dudes who block or resistant to certain elements of... elements on your weapon, you know.
Elden Ring's on PC, right? It is.
Should be.
Isn't it?
Should be on PC. Yeah.
I think it is. Something I look into.
If he doesn't want to grind, okay, that's all power to him. But yeah, it's going to catch up eventually in like New Game Plus or something along those lines. You won't have any choice but to grind.
I don't. It's just one of those things. I don't mind him doing it. I don't mind anybody doing it. Just personally for me, I feel like before I do all that, I really need to get my combat pattern down. Otherwise, it's just going to be. Yeah. I'm not going to know how to control my guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to know my mechanics.
Yeah.
My strategy at taking certain things if I want to do it that way. So I don't know. It's weird.
Well, like a. Arkham, Batman, your Arkham games.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no buying a win out of that.
No, there's not.
Or by playing Street Fighter, ain't no buying a win. How do you get to top 8?
Well, I would say in the Batman games, you could probably give yourself enough experience points to unlock all those bat gadgets and things, but usually those were story driven. You had to go through the story in order to unlock the, like, oh, it's here, and then you could upgrade them.
I was just thinking about the combat, like you did with God of War, knowing the combinations of what attack buttons you use to get their to get your most effective weapons attack.
And you've got to remember that.
You got to remember.
You can button mash all day, but
yeah, it ain't gonna work. Or like I was saying with how do you get the top eight of any fighting game tournament? It ain't about button mashing.
No.
You gotta learn. You gotta learn your stuff and know what you're doing.
You do.
So ain't no, and then you can't put a price tag on experience.
Exactly. Yeah. That is going to wrap it up for us. We are done. Another week in the books. And we will be back next weekend for another show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as listening to the stream and on the radio. Thank you all who grabs us each week from iTunes or wherever you get our show for later use. We do appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook. We've got a YouTube channel. If you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group over there. Also, join us on Discord. Subscribe to our YouTube. We're all over the place for you there. So just jump in, say hello, and subscribe if you would like to. Thank you, everyone. Thank you again, RJ. Thank you to our callers, Rob, and to Biloxi Gambler. Hope we helped you out with that, man. And you guys have a fantastic week. We will see you next Saturday. Here is music from Dark Souls. This is Moonlight Butterfly?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That's a boss.
Okay. Well,
yep.
Here it is for you.
And she hurts.
We'll see you next Saturday.
She hurts a lot, actually. Thank you.